Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
Last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. I heard the laughter of her heart in every street cafe. The last time I saw Paris, the trees were dressed for spring, and lovers walked beneath those trees, and birds found songs to sing. I dodged the same old taxi cabs that I had dodged.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When it comes to entertainment, camp icon Charles Bush could very well be called a jack of all trades, or a Jill of all trades. That's because he's been instrumental not only in elevating the art of the drag queen into the realm of high art, but also by doing it in so many different ways. He's written plays, musicals, novels, librettos, winning Tony nominations and Drama Desk awards along the way. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Well, hello, John.
In the past, you've said that your imagination is only fired up when you play female roles. But in your film, A Very Serious Person, you're playing a male. Why?
Oh, don't believe everything you read. It's all lies, lies, I tell you.
So don't believe everything you say, in other words.
Don't believe anything I say. Okay. No, I'm just a big fat liar.
It's going to be one of those interviews, is it?
You've cruelly exposed me. I think I may have very well, I'm sure I said that, in fact, and I'm sure I believed it at the time. But, you know, I've kind of been growing in many, many different directions, including my waistline. Yeah, now I just keep trying different things. And you know, it's really about confidence. I think there was a period where I really felt that I was only funny if I was in a costume and sort of playing a character. And in the last few years, I think, gotten a lot more confidence in just being me. So with this movie, A Very Serious Person, I really wanted to have the experience of playing a role that I could reveal more of myself, be more personal. And to do that, I had to take the wig off.
Mm-hmm. It is semi-autobiographical, would that be fair to say?
I'd say it's demi-autobiographical. I'd say it's emotionally autobiographical without being factually autobiographical. I was raised by my aunt in Manhattan, very much kind of like Auntie Mame, really.
Mm.
And in this movie, it's about a grandmother who's raising her 13-year-old grandson. However, in my real life, my aunt lived to a fine old age and just passed away not long ago. And in the movie, the drama really is that the grandmother who's raising this kid is terminally ill, and I play a rather enigmatic male nurse,
mm-hmm.
who comes in to take care of her and becomes a very interesting mentor to this young boy. And I'm a rather strange Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Now, is there a message to the film about, you know, parental figures, whether conventional or otherwise, and the role in kind of shaping young people?
Well, I think the movie really is about how a group of adults all have the best intentions and all of them are trying so hard to help this kid find his way and be strong, and yet, you know, adults all have their own damage that make their choices suspect, but they're all trying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the movie's about.
The film is A Very Serious Person. And in this clip that we have, your male nurse has taken his 13-year-old charge to a hairdresser. And, you know, both the nurse and the hairdresser are obviously gay. Yeah. And it seems like young Gil is heading in that direction as well. And Gil notices the hairdresser has lipstick on and asks for some himself.
Yes.
Your character takes the hairdresser outside, and this is the conversation that ensues.
I am trying to prepare this child to live with his relatives in Florida, and yet you encourage this camp behavior. Do you know what will happen to him in his new school? Do you want him to be ridiculed? Do you want him to be beat up?
This kid is who he is, and you're not going to change that by telling him that being a queen is a fate worse than death.
I thought you were merely stupid. Now I begin to think you are evil.
You just wait a goddamned old-fashioned American minute. You have crossed the line here. That kid is gay. Gay! He's obsessed with old movie actresses. He likes playing beauty parlor. That was me when I was his age, and I bet it was you too.
That is Charles Bush from the film A Very Serious Person. It seems like you're really playing with type and stereotype.
I should also say that the other actor that I'm playing with is Carl Andrus, who co-wrote the movie with me.
And who is just
terrific in
having a blast in this role,
yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, you know, no, it's a tricky thing, too. You know, he plays this rather flamboyant gay beautician, and it would be very easy to just really overdo that. And particularly in film, where it's an intimate medium. And Carl really did find a wonderful line of being real and yet fun.
Mm-hmm. And you get to, if not wear a wig, at least have a funny accent.
Yes, I'm from Denmark, which is rather a tricky accent. Also, it was hard because it's supposed to be a slight accent. That's almost the hardest thing. It would be very easy if I was doing, you know, I Remember Mama.
Right. Well, what about, you know, what is this saying about, you know, I don't know, nature and nurture, but the way we view gay culture and how that all
happens?
Well,
it's also about different generations of gay people, and that, you know, my character is, let's say, you know, late 40s, 50 years old, and sort of feels, he's basically giving the message, be yourself, but just not too much of it.
Mm.
And he's concerned, you know, and he's very concerned about the kid existing in a homophobic world and having to adapt to it. And Carl's character thinks that that's self-hating, that you should just, you know, if you're going to be yourself, just be yourself and go with it.
Right.
So, you know, so what I think is interesting about that part of the movie, this is just one little part of the movie, really, is just that it shows that there's no right or wrong characters, that they're all, everybody is trying their best and they're all flawed, like, you know, like everyone is, and
right.
But in their trying.
You know, it's funny, we spent the first half of this program today talking about background music, and in this film, yeah, the score really is kind of what they used to call in the theater incidental music.
Well, there's a lot of it. You know, I this is my first film as a director, and so it really has been kind of a crash course in going to film school, really. And I had never worked, you know, with the composer on background music. And I've lucked out with this fantastic young guy, Andrew Sherman, and who's really, most of his work has been in, he's one of the top commercial composers.
Jingles and that sort of thing.
For commercials, and he's done a marvelous job in this. And it was so interesting too, because when you sort of first edit a film, you put together what's called a temp score, which is just sometimes just music from other old movies that you hope will sort of fit in. Just to
hold the place.
Place. And we had taken music from that wonderful movie Far From Heaven. It's Elmer Bernstein. I mean, it can't get better than that. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really quite fit our movie. It's sort of the best I could do at the moment. But there was a kind of a heavy, you know, that movie was really dark and heavy. And actually, you know, I think it did our movie a bit of a disservice early on, because our movie is rather whimsical, actually. And there's a lighthearted quality, not necessarily in the scene you chose.
Well, I'm sorry.
But it's, you know,
it is a very serious scene from him.
Yeah, yeah. So it's there's a lot of humor, and there's a kind of a child, the music has to have a kind of a childlike feel to it, almost a little bit more like To Kill a Mockingbird in some ways. So I think we worked very hard on that. But there's a lot of music, there are long segments of the movie that are all scored. And then it was all, the other thing I've had to learn too, though, is when not to use music. There were places where we actually then cut out the music because it was spelling it out too much.
Yeah.
I mean, the music, I mean, I'm learning just how music guides the viewer's emotions. But then other times you got to cool it and let them discover it themselves. Very fine line.
Yeah, and as we heard in, you know, our discussion of background music, sometimes silence can seem louder than whatever music you could track in.
Yes, well, there was a very dramatic scene in the film. Polly Bergen is the other lead in the film, and she plays grandmother, and there's a scene when she's very ill, and it was very dramatic, and Andrew came up with some marvelous music, but then later we realized, Andrew himself realized that that the silence was so much more dramatic and rather terrifying.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charles Bush. His film is A Very Serious Person. There's also the documentary called The Lady in Question is Charles Bush, which I guess they must have been shooting at the same time that you were making this movie.
Oh, no. This documentary was like the longest reality series in history. 5 years ago, these two filmmakers, John Catania and Charles Ignacio, approached me about doing a documentary about my life. Now, I can't imagine any viewer, listener out there would not be flattered and would not jump at the opportunity. I mean, it's a narcissist's dream. So I said, well, yeah, sure. I'd love you to follow me around. I didn't know it'd be, you know, longer than a presidential administration. By the second year, it had lost its charm, let me tell you. By the third year, I was ready to kill him, you know, and they interviewed everybody, you know, my family, my sisters, all my friends, everybody's in this movie. And it went on for so long that a lot of people had lost weight and had facial surgery and wanted retakes. But it ended up, you know, it's like having your apartment renovated. You hate it, what's going on. Then when it's over, how quickly you forget.
Right.
So now, of course, I just love the movie. I mean, it came out so fantastic. And I've been traveling around for the whole year, really, going to film festivals all over the country. And I just recently came back this week from promoting the film in L.A. and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a magical thing for me.
All right. Charles Bush, you burst upon the scene in 1984 with Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, which ran for 5 years, which, I mean, I remember seeing Vampire Lesbians of Sodom in the
really?
Early days of the show and thinking what a riot it was, and God, that guy's legs look great. And
well, you know, Marlene Dietrich used to say about herself, the legs are so-so, it's what I do with them.
Well, with Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, it was just like this thing that it, you know, emerged from a crack in the wall of some East
emerged
Village.
From a crack den, you mean, in the East Village is really the truth.
How did that start? How did this whole journey for you begin?
Well, I started out as a rather severe solo performer, just dressed in black shirt and black pants. And that was my career for about 8 years. And I never could earn a living. And then maybe the first and only time in my life have I been in the right place at the right time. And the East Village in the around 1984 was suddenly very hot and a completely different area than it is today. And actually, I'm really talking about Alphabet City,
mm-hmm.
which is far East Village. And so there was this, it had been basically undeveloped. So it really looked like Berlin after the war, just blocks of bombed out looking, burned out buildings. And it was a pretty dangerous area. But because of that, there were cheap rents.
Mm-hmm.
So all sorts of very interesting clubs and art galleries were springing up. And just not too many of them. And I think Madonna and Keith Haring emerged out of that Basquiat, out of that scene. So we started doing these little plays in this bar, after hours bar, art gallery, performance space called the Limbo Lounge on Avenue C. And we had these crazy titles like Vampire Lesbians of Sodom and Theodora, She Bitch of Byzantium.
Right.
So all the big magazines, People Magazine, New York Magazine, would do stories about this crazy performance art scene, and they would always include the names of our titles. It's kind of a punchline. So we really benefited from all this publicity, and our little play that we put on for $36.18 got all this free publicity and just took off. So finally we decided just to move it ourselves commercially. And we had to raise this astronomical amount of money, $55,000. We had about 350 investors to raise it. And we moved it off Broadway. And miracle of miracles, it had got a rave review in the Times and ran 5 years.
We're speaking with Charles Bush. After that, you went on to Broadway. You did The Tale of the Allergist's Wife
right.
in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
A string of musicals. Now, you know, you're talking about how difficult it was with the film to kind of you know, learn how to weave music into it. What about the musical? That's got to be a tricky.
I have a rather disastrous record with musicals. I think from now on I may just get no closer to a musical than Rosie Center.
You're referring to Taboo, perhaps?
Yeah. Although, you know, it's a funny thing about Taboo. I'm the first one to dish it, and yet the most amazing people love that show. I remember at one performance, Stephen Sondheim was sitting on the aisle, and, you know, and I know him somewhat, and he said, I just love this show, and I wept. I said, what are you, weeping for the state of the American musical? He said, no. He said, it's about something, and, you know, who else? Tony Kushner? I mean, really smart people. So I'm thinking maybe it wasn't quite, you know, such a disaster.
Well, what was it about? For folks who didn't get to see Taboo,
Was very notorious flop from, I guess, a year ago?
2003.
Yeah, I guess it's more like, time goes by when you're enjoying yourself. when you're sprung. No, Rosie O'Donnell, who I absolutely adore, she produced this show. And she is one of those rare things where she saw it in London, a different version of it in a small space. And she just determined she was going to produce it on Broadway, and she was going to put all her own money in it. And that's very rare. And she was terribly criticized for it. The same people who say, where are the producers of yesteryear who believed in something, and you know, now everything's corporate. And, well, here she was doing it, and she was terribly criticized. And it was a score by Boy George. And I have to say, I mean, he's a very complex fellow, but it's a wonderful score. If the original cast album is out, and it really is fantastic, and what did amaze me was that a lot of the score was, you know, from the London production, but he also could write very fast, you know, like you know, a Jerry Herman, where, you know, I would tell him the song that was needed, and next day we'd have it. And he was professional.
All right. Well, we'll hear one of Boy George's classic hits to wrap up the show today, but Charles has... As we do wrap up, you mentioned time flies when you're having fun. You still having fun?
I really am. It's easy to be a little, you know, kind of grimly professional, but I'm really trying to enjoy the moment.
All right, well, the film is called A Very Serious Person. Charles, a pleasure to have you here on the program today.
It's been terrific.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.